Shimon Rabbi Yisai Dayoni Mumchin. I'm going to start with a Maseiros Niduk. It's being recorded. I won't deny what I'm saying. But I think that number one, halacha v'loy l'maisa would be less than I want to say. I don't even think it's the halacha, let alone l'maisa. That's the first part. That's a little less of a concern. But I think that what today we talk about is Bateris Sod and Ein Megalin Sod, because it will harm everybody, everyone here.
Recording in progress.
And perhaps the entire economy. So it would be best if we don't let people in on the secret. The economics department has already been in conspiracy with us. They talk all these things, but the shame is that people don't understand. So don't be megalit to anybody in blunt terms, because it's not going to be good for anybody. Let me explain why. Sorry? I think Rabbi Levine, Olva Sholem, would be masking everything I have to say. But that's because I think he understood these things. Not everybody understands it. He understood it. He also wasn't a galsod for, I think, good reason, good practical reason. That's good. Other kinds of reason, I don't really know. After all, if they're concerned with MS, I'm not sure whether they're there's only one MS or there are multiple amitiyos. It's all part of this big problem here. So let me begin. Mordechai always wants a title. I'll give him a title. The title is of greenbacks, monopoly money, and Bitcoin. Now, I'm not sure what the order should be of the three. That would be totally in what we talk about in the course of the next hour. But that's essentially what this is. And Benigeyatu Einoi, which all means are any of the things I'm talking about, the Bechina Shtar or less, or is it not a Shtar? Now, if we're going to talk about monetary theory, let me start not from the beginning, but what I think is the logical beginning. We'll see other things in order. I think that out there, there are several different theories with regard to monetization, et cetera, and they operate on different levels of comprehension. The first of them, I think, is the Chazon Ish. He's the easiest one to understand, at least to me, he seems the easiest one to understand. I asked you to distribute this email, so everybody has this. It's the Chazon Ish, Chayshim Mishpot, Simen Tes Zayin. The Chazon Ish starts with his own little problem. He's got problems that have nothing to do with us, nothing to do with monetary theory, but a lot to do with Hanhoges Besden, a lot to do with what even he thinks may be a 614th mitzvah. And don't complain, it's not in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, because we already know that the Chiyubim aren't in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. He starts with a problem. The problem is that every what it was worth at the time of Gezel, not what it's worth now. The pras in terms of a mazik, even in terms of a geneva that you can't return the end, is what it was worth b'shas geneva, not it was what worth b'shas chazara. So how are you mishayer what it's worth b'shas geneva? You have to figure it out in money. How much is it worth? In the shkolim of Chumash, or the shkolim of contemporary age, or American dollars, what have you. So his problem is, how can you be ma'arich and nezek unless there's a monetary system? And where is there a parish that tells me I have to establish a monetary system? So he thinks that could be that maybe a chiyuv midraisa, I don't know, midraisa, midrabbanan, I don't know what it is, but some kind of chiyuv on the Besden has all kinds of things. So let Besden go establish a currency system, a department of the currency in the Besden Hagodol of Yerushalayim, and the Sanhedrin had a chiyuv to do something of the sort. Or he says there may be other things that you can do. What happens in the jungle where there is no monetary system? So this is his real problem. What the Dini HaTorah Tolin Askomis Me'odom, If I don't have a skomus me'odom, then there's no chiv nizokin, or I don't know how to mishayer the chiv nizokin. So one of the possibilities is say, go out, establish the monetary system that's part of the chiv. Or, says he, that if there is no other eitzah, then you have to use the shkolim ha'murim b'teru, which had a certain amount of silver. That's like the fallback, and you need that anyway for things like pidi naben, whatever, or you don't need it for pidi naben. I'll soon show you some safer things you need it anyway for pidi silver. So he says, and you have to take what the chefetz hanigzal, or the chefetz hanizui, who is worth in silver, and now you will... you will figure out how much the silver was worth at the Shas HaHezek, and you'll pay for Shas HaHezek because we're on the silver standard. The Torah standard is the silver standard. Or he gives a third possibility, has three possibilities, there's not much free between them. The third possibility is that I have to return exactly what I was mazik, no matter what it's worth. Not the Shas HaZela, I have to go find you a new one. I have to give you, replace it as it was. Again, I'm not going to even talk about trying to compare it to contemporary systems, but there is a comparison in terms of contemporary systems. So these are the three possibilities that he gives you in Ois Beis. He continues those other things. He thinks that the shayach to be mishtabed yourself in chfeitzim, not in matbeis. I think that's absolutely correct for other reasons. It has nothing to do with what he is saying. And then he talks about which is what's called tivo, what's not called tivo, what is the standard, what's not called the standard, why zov is going to kesef and kesef is not going to zov, etc., etc. That's all the Chazor Nish. The Chazor Nish then tells me, yes, you have to establish a monetary system. How do I establish a monetary system? So he says, min hagenu l'shayer perach matbei b'chol medinu medina v'lomadno she keeps the Torah as she covers the Torah that Tashlumi of Erech Amadbeya Hayetzei B'Medina. That's what we do. We know that. We don't need Chazonish. He says V'Teima. Then what the Torah Dini Torah told in Das Me'odom, we have to go establish an Erech Amadbeya in every system. So he tells us V'im Yaskimu Shloi Lasis Amadbeyes. See, he says that ein inyan hamadbeis tivi elo heskem. Now, to translate that into another sprach, inyan hamadbeis, the concept of a monetary system, isn't tivi, it's not natural law. It doesn't come automatically to us, not a priori. Elo heskem, it's all on the basis of haskomas b'nei odom. So the Kazainish is telling me whatever is Tiva is based upon whatever is Haskomas Bnei Odom. So Yeh Rebbe B'Aldusa, Yeh Rebbe B'Ziknusa, he thought the Haskomas Bnei Odom was different because one was more chorus than the other at different points in his life. I know absolutely nothing about the monetary system in the days of Rebbe. You'll have to ask Professor Levine or somebody else who claims to know such things. But he's saying it was totally in Heskem Bnei Odom, and that there was a clear Heskem, which is considered Choriv, which is not considered Choriv. That had to be part of the Heskem. He doesn't talk about it, because otherwise I won't know which is fluctuating against which. He takes it for granted, and other people also take it for granted, that wherever I have a fluctuation in value, you can describe it either as inflation, which means that payers are gone up, it costs more to buy them, or it's the deflation of whatever the currency is. It's two sides of the same coin. You use whichever word you want to use, depending upon whom you're talking to and what you want them to go away thinking. But all of this, he says, is Heskem and Bnei Odom. So the first monetary theory that you find in Halacha, and it's not the first in terms of not in chronology, but I think that if you were to ask somebody in Cheder, if he comes up with anything, he's going to tell you something like this. That's all totally in Heskem Bnei Odom, and there can't be any monetary theory without the Heskem Bnei Odom. And the Chassidim should tell you it might even be a mitzvah to establish such a Heskem. Go out, come out of your jungle, and go make yourself a Heskem. Decide what you want to be, the Tivo, and decide what you're going to be Peri, because anything that's not Tivo is going to be Peri, and it's all going to be Tolu in Heskem, Bnei Odom. Now, If that's true,
In ancient times, they would have coins with the metal, and the metal would have a certain value, and that was the value of the coin. Is that Heskin B'nai Adam?
Yes.
That's Heskin B'nai
Ask
Adam.
many of them.
All right.
We decided that this is going to be the standard, and we were going to assign comparative value to all other commodities in terms of this. And we will, everything, if you, things go up and down, you discover the new world, and suddenly the price of silver falls. In days of Chazal, it's 25-1, gold to silver. It's not 25-1 anymore. Even in the days when they were trying to corner the silver market, I don't think it went up to 25-1. I did take the trouble of looking today in the New York Times. Gold is now selling at $2,012. Oh, he comes from Toronto. That's it. $12,012 an ounce. Unfortunately, the New York, the ounce, troy ounce probably. I don't know which ounce they're talking about. Some such numbers. But it's $2,012 an ounce. And it went down today. It was more yesterday. But this is at the height. Silver is selling on today's market. You probably know I don't, because it's not in the New York Times. It's 25. Okay.
23.
23. Okay. That's. It was $35 an ounce when my day till Nixon. I remember. I don't count. Don't hold me to the figures. I'll talk about that later. That'll come a little bit later. But today, gold went all the way up. Well, it's worth much more comparison to silver than it was once upon a time. Okay, so that's where we start. If you tell me that the Heskvene Odom, it's very important, because I have to know basically for Ribis to start everything else, because if it's not Tivo, then it's Sobeso. Sobeso is Osir. I can get around Sobeso if I want to, but Sobeso is Osir, at least Rabbonim. It's just the Rabbonim, and the opposite. If it turns out to be only Sobeso, there's no Ribis Deraisa. One of the outlandish things I'm going to say today is that I don't think any business in America can be mechayev anybody to return ribis ktsutsa, because I don't think there is ribis ktsutsa in America today. And if there's some shittas that hold there is, so I'll say kimli, who you, I mean, you may say, I hold this little ribis ktsutsa, I'm not going to pay it back. Now, isn't there, I think that also depends upon how we look at certain things, but in the end, I'm going to claim the most bizarre of all things, that L'chol HaDeis, L'chol HaShitas, it can't be anything more than Saw B'Saw. And that is probably even stretching it a little bit. I'm not sure it's even Saw B'Saw. We'll come to that in a second. Now, and I have people who say that the Armat Deis is Saw B'Saw. Before I go further, don't think I'm totally crazy. Chochmas Odom holds that, if I'm reading him right. And the Brit Yehuda holds that Armat Beis in the same Medina are Saw B'Saw. And that there's no Ribis Ktsutsa. You want the Mechiris, I'll give you the Mechiris. I'm going to come to the Chochmas Odom in a moment. I may be wrong in understanding what he's talking about because I don't speak his Yiddish and I don't know what the banknotes he's talking about were, but I kind of suspect that I've got it right. That's in Hilchas Ribis, Klal Kuf Lamed Beis, Ois Tes. I'll come back there. And if you want the verse Yehuda, it's Pere Yud Aleph, Sif Yud Beis, and a footnote, and he ends with a Tzorachin at the end. But he's willing to call in our Medinas that is called Saw B'Saw. I'll just tell you why. He doesn't use any of the reasons I'm going to use. He says because in some Medinas, or in most Medinas, in our Medinas, they trade currency one against the other. So you see that everything is Saw B'Saw. If you trade one currency against the other currency, there's no standard, so it's got to be Saw B'Saw. I'm not sure I agree with his reasoning, but the principle is there. If you're dealing with payer against payer, it's Saw B'Saw, and we're trading currency, he says there is no such thing as Tivo. Again, I'm not the Nachroi for the Bris Yehuda, and it's Lav Mitameh, so it's a different time. We'll talk about it a little bit more. Then comes what everybody knows. Everybody knows all about the Chasam Sofer. Yeah. That's all right.
If the coin you have is Perry, the Ramban, and I thought most of Sherman saw the Sa'ayin in terms of Kitzvah. So,
sure.
Okay, great. So it's still, it's a thing, $1 for $1,
No. Nobody does that.
What?
Everybody does it for
$1
dollars for saying a payri and they're not so.
It's all on payri, but there's on payri for payri. So
okay, we'll see whether there's Rivas Dreiser for payri on payri.
I'm not
paying
for
payri
$1.
Except that we agreed that we're going to settle in dollars, not in saw. If we really settle in dollars, then it turns out a lot different from one saw for two saw. And it may very well be the case that if there is such a standard, one saw for two saw could end up being Rivas Rabbanon. Let's get to this theory. Let's go through the shitas and then we'll worry about applying it. Okay? The second that everybody knows is the Chsam Sefer. The only problem is that there are three Chsam Sefers. Not one Chsam Sefer, but three of them. The first Chsam Sefer is, this is the one everybody quotes, Yerdeya Kuf Lamed Vov. And it's the end of the first column of the second page. The first page, at least in these editions, says very little. And then it says, V'novoi El Hashlishi. The banknote, stories to know, v'lesbuhu isur ribis. Again, that's also not what he's taking for granted. It isn't. The Taz holds that there's ribis thrice on stories also. There's a chaylik, but okay, he's taking it for granted for his purposes that on stories there can be an isur deraisa. One star for two stories is what he's talking about. Now, why does he think that this is a banknote and have some kind of strange halachas here? He says that the shtoris that they have is their banknoten, where he's the manenu shemashbim al tainus ha banknoten v'neisnu lahem dine shemrim v'havi shtar mimayid mikol hanal. He thinks that we're treating these things as if they're not shtoris, but they're really shtoris. He wants to know why. So he says, among other things, that there's some likos of shame malve, the kolamitzi geveyave mishumhochi odish mishtar. They're claiming it's better for shtar because kol hamitzi can use it and it goes miyad liyad. Now, part of this, he doesn't refer to anything that came before, and I don't want to talk about it now. But before the Chsam Sefer, there was something called the Mamram. The Mamram was the earliest check, only it wasn't the check. The Mamram was really a letter of credit. And what was happening was a person went to the Yarid, wherever it was, and the people didn't know him there. They didn't know whether they could trust him. They didn't. So he came with a piece of paper that was signed by Rothschild, or whoever was the veer, and it says, I guarantee this person up to a certain amount. Go to a bank, you get it too, you pay for it. The bank never pays the money. And the guy who went with it, the purpose was that when he gets back, he's going to send the money. I know Pony Express, I know he sent the money. He didn't want to take that chryas from his responsibility for taking the money with him because there were highway robberies out there. It was dangerous. But somehow you paid people that did it, insurance, whatever the good system was. But in the meantime, the Kaina doesn't know you. I want to buy tea. I want to buy tea in China. Who am I? They don't know me. So I go to my bank today, and I get a letter of credit for a certain amount, and I pay a fee for it. And I go and I show it to them, and they take my word for it or my little piece of paper. And I go back. The bank will send them today. Do it with chronically whatever's going to happen, and no money passed between me and the bank. The bank is taking money just for assuring my loan, and they're insuring and assuring my loan. And this is when, and these, once upon a time, there were many problems because they were using it over and over again. What are you doing here? And it wasn't even signed, it was signed on the back. and often had a blank. No, the sum wasn't filled in. Then the malva wasn't filled in. The leiva wasn't filled in. And it sounds like the shtar shenim kol shibudai, and you've got brayer, you've got all kinds of problems. But those were problems long before the sum sefer, and Achrayim spoke about it, and he just ignores it. He thinks he had banknote, and I don't know exactly what they were, but didn't have anybody's name on it. It's a dollar bill. It's a bearer bond. Anybody can spend it. Melech didn't give it that to me. Anybody who wants it. So he's got problems with this. Yes.
I don't know if this is relevant, but let's say I'm an adventurous entrepreneur. And I want to purchase something from a country who doesn't have diplomatic relations with the United States, so let alone economic trade agreements. They don't even recognize, I think there's something like that today. So I don't know if that's a compound variable or that's irrelevant. They don't trust me, they don't trust all the United States. Or the U.S. Treasury Department.
And who doesn't trust the U.S. Treasury Department? Me, I know. Lamaise, I do. Yeah.
Are there some federal nations that won't recognize the United States?
What does that mean?
They won't take
an American dollar.
I'm just saying there's like another layer of distrust there, even with a letter of credit.
I'm not quite sure I know what you mean, but the way it works is that when you want to change American dollars, but you want to hold American dollars, you get them converted in international banks into gold.
They'll
trust it till tomorrow morning when they can convert it to gold. International markets are on the gold standard. I'll talk about what happened to us in gold later. Today is also to own gold in this country, except with exceptions. I had a Bala boss who was a dentist, and he used gold to make fillings, and he told me that every month he buys an extra ounce or two of gold, and he squirrels it away. It's illegal. He's allowed to buy it for tashmish, to make a keli out of it, a tooth, but he's not supposed to do it to hide in his drawer. But he knew that gold was going to appreciate. And he was doing this as an investment. People buy gold today, too. They don't hold the gold, but they buy the gold. You're not supposed to own the gold. Well, I'm not interested in all of that. But I had a Bala boss.
FDR did that.
Yeah, I know FDR did it, but not now. That was once upon a time, before you and I were around. I had a Bala boss 2 years ago in the middle of the pandemic. He's been in my shul for 20 years. He's never asked me a shaila. But he suddenly calls me on the telephone to ask, do I think there's going to be inflation? Is there going to be inflation? She says he has to know for, investments would be a good idea to put his money in gold, or do I think the stock market is going to go up, or whatever. I told him, I heard from Mendel Zechariah Levrochet, that people used to come to, they thought he was a Chassidus Rebbe or something, he used to come to him to Eitzes. And he used to tell them that if you ask Shaila, either I know and I'll answer, or I don't know and I'll take out a Mishnah Berurah and I'll answer. But you come to me for Eitzes. If you come for Eitzes, there's the Fnivali Sita Mikshal. How can I give you Eitzes? The Mishnah Eitzes Shina Higienis. How do I know Eitzes? How do I know what's going to be good and what's going to be bad? I told him, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that the Yaldusi in the Chatas Nurim, they told me something about supply and demand. And I have learned that you have inflation when there's too much money in circulation vis-a-vis the demand for it. It's a lot of money chasing commodities. And I just read in the newspaper that they're pumping $1 trillion into the economy. And I didn't tell them all of this. I know there's no backing for it, which means that there's going to be more money. And there's no other way. It has got to be inflation. I said, it's not me. That's what they told me when I learned Lu Dechel once upon a time. So whatever you think you can do to protect yourself against inflation, I think it would be wise and prudent. Okay? But it's not no great chokhmah. But everybody knows that there is fluctuation. And that's what's going on in all of our problems with the monetary systems. So the Sam Sefer is telling me. Mamram. Mem, Resh, Mem. What does it stand for? Memoram, Latin. It probably means a memorial.
Oh, a
read all about it in contemporary halakhic problems. I forgot which. Okay. It's a short piece. Mamram. All the Achronim talk about the Mamram. How does that be a Hebrew word? You know what a Marufi is? Don't look in Jastro. It's a good Hebrew word. It crept in from whatever language they were borrowing it from. It's not clear precisely what the basis was, but it probably means a memorial. Sefer Dvarim or something this way. Where? Who rejected?
North Korea, Iran, Syria, Crimea.
What do you mean? They don't accept.
They do not accept.
If I walk into a store in which one Iran with a couple of American dollars and try to spend it, will they take it from me or not? I understand. I'll talk about that later. It's very significant. But I remember the Shvachan Kedach in the 70s being in the late defunct, not lamented, Union, maybe should be lamented, was maybe better than Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And I had to declare every dollar that I had. And if I had to wanted to spend anything, I was supposed to go either to a dollar store where it was kosher or to go to a bank and exchange it for a ruble. And I couldn't spend dollars other than a dollar store. And if anyone would be caught in a dollar store who wasn't a foreigner with a foreign passport and declared how many dollars he brought, or a foreign diplomat, it was achas domlums. You went to jail. I remember the KGB followed you every place, and you had a driver who was KGB, and I saw my KGB driver going to dollar store right behind me. Whatever, he knew it was illegal, he was taking his life in his hands, literally. And I had, you weren't allowed to bring in without declaring it, you weren't allowed to own it. One of the Bali Tshuva there wanted to give me French francs. They were still before euros. French francs, not a terrible great amount. He didn't want me to give him anything for it. He said to him, it's valueless. Zenen of Zlechosar. He can't spend them. I don't even tell me how he got them. And it was 50 francs. What was 50 francs already? So I paid him for it in Russian ruble. Why not? It's such always I paid it. But he wasn't allowed to own it. He was afraid to keep it. So he's willing to give it to me. I'll get away with it even if I didn't declare the 50 francs at the border. So I forgot 50 francs. I declared much more an American valuta. But it was also, so you tell me that in Iran or you tell me Kuwait, wherever it is, they won't recognize an American dollar. I'm quite sure that they won't allow me to spend it openly in the marketplace. But I mean, the banks won't accept the deposit in dollars because they're not allowed to. But I'm sure that it has the value as payra. There are people who will accept it probably at a premium. If you remember, you can't remember, you do remember, in Eretz Yisrael, there was a time when you were not allowed to, they didn't ask for dollars, but you weren't allowed to have a foreign bank account. And Rabin, if you remember, he was premier twice, the second time, never. The first time he had to resign because his wife had an American bank account that had a couple of thousand American dollars. But apparently the Einish was only to resign. He can come back again a few months later, a few years later, whatever it is. But Eretz Yisrael also, the Mabea Zar was Mabea Zar. And any significant purchase was denominated in dollars. Then they went to see how much is a dollar worth against the shekel. And they'll do you a favor, they'll take the shekel. But today it's not so necessary anymore because it's shuk choshi. It's a free market. Once upon a time, it wasn't a free market, and they regulated. And there were tshuvas written during that period whether you're allowed to lend American dollars for American dollars because it's sova so. The Israeli shekel kept going down. So you were paying back the American dollars. They were more than the shkolim, which should have been tiva. And guess what? I don't know if anybody asked it. They all claimed the American dollar was the tiva, to the point where I began asking, maybe the shekel is also because of so. But they all took it for granted that don't tell me what the government says. Who cares about the government? Some slavery did, but forget, and I don't know about Eretz Yisrael. He never said Eretz Yisrael. Only HaKaiser Yoram Hoyder. I made a difference in the Mahus, who says it's in the Mahus and Eretz Yisrael. That's a separate issue. He didn't write about that. It wasn't his problem. But these were serious economic problems in certain places, and they remain problems. But in any event, the Chassam Sofer is not talking about a mamram, and he's clearly telling me that the ordinary banknote is Ishtar Shnimchu Shibudai. Every time the king accepts it and then spends it again. He, what's going on between people, I don't know, but he's accepting it for missing, you know, pay taxes with these banknotes, so it's a Shtar Shnimchu Shibudai, and he's using it all over again. So what kind of Shtar is going to be? The Shtar is worthless, the Shtar is nothing. And among the, all the other problems he has. So he says, and if you're talking about the Shibud on the Shtar, this is all in the first Shuvah. A shtar can create a shibud nechosim on the person, not on milodim. So how can other people use it who weren't born at the time this was issued? And again, he's got a problem. More problems like this. If his he dies and his king, his son becomes the kaiser, the new kaiser will pay it. And Yisraeli Martin Luchui for Chavis Aviyim. How in the world can that work? He seems to think that in theory you could claim it from the Yossel, the new king. I'm not quite sure who told him that if he Franz Yossel's son would have come, that the Bezin would have said you can claim your father's banknotes or you believe to pay your father's. That's the other way. You believe to pay Chavis Aviyim, I'm not sure why he's so certain, but the Dinehem he certainly was. So all of that, he was a few more things like that that he has here in the very first tshuva. He doesn't see why in the world it can have a shtar. It doesn't behave like a shtar. Now I'm not sure that doesn't behave like a shtar doesn't mean it's not a shtar. A shtar that doesn't behave like a shtar can still be a shtar. It's just that the Zillion don't know what it is, and people are pretending that it's got all kinds of things the shtar doesn't have. Does it work? Doesn't it work? Does that totally not skoma? Not totally not skoma. All of that to me is Sisri theory. He doesn't explain any of this. But I am now in the Kuf Lamed Dalet. Yeah, the first one. And you're in, this is your day. To which he then goes and he is machadish that there's a difference between a shtar. And in between, he also tells me that a shtar doesn't have to be on paper. I can take a piece of gold or a piece of nechashish and write a shtar on it, and it's worth a lot more than the gold of nechashish. And that's also only oimid l'rayah shavui. What else does he say over here? If not this one, in another one. I think it's the other one. He says that if the dollar bill, the banknote gets burnt, and you go with a day leading to the bank, and you tell them that it was Nisra, the Kaiser will give you another banknote. As you see, it's not only the Raya, because the Raya is gone. He's giving you whatever he's giving you. And he thinks that proves that it's only Oymid L'Raya, because with a Raya, you'll get the same thing as you get from the banknote. So, because the banknote is gone, it can't be goofy moment. If the Madeya, he says, you got a quarter. His quarter, which was silver, not ours, which isn't silver. If it's about Beya gets burnt down, the Melech's not going to give you another one. He's not going to give you another one. He won't. He doesn't have to weigh it. He doesn't want to weigh it. He doesn't want the expenses of minting it. But the banknote, if it's burnt, and you bring a Raya, that you had the banknote, he'll pay you for it. Again, I don't know what it's because it's only Oymed L'Raya, it's a B'l'Shabud, because it's come with another Raya, I get it. In another tshuva, he calls it a malchus shel chesed. I'll tell you with context. Now, Rav Moshe, I don't know if he got it from some safe. He says America is a malchus shel chesed. The earliest term, use of the term malchus shel chesed that I know is in the Chassam Sefer, and we'll talk about the context. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a malchus shel chesed. The melech doesn't want me to have a chesed. He knows that he owed me the money, and he knows he didn't pay it. So it will take a diraya to give me another shtar. He didn't give me a shtar. It should be moved to the shtar. He's such a nice melech. Okay, so what? Does that prove it's goofy moment? I don't know why it's proving goofy moment. And what if he'll say tomorrow he doesn't want to give it to me? It's not goofy moment. Incidentally, I think it's true in America too. If you walk in with ashes to a bank and the ashes still have reshumi nikir of the serial number, there are two serial numbers, I think you can get a good dollar bill for this one that was burnt. If I'm mistaken, what difference does it make any difference? I don't think the Chassam Sofer was right in terms of whether that is a criterion of goofy moment or not goofy moment. I don't think it proves this L'Raya Shabbai. All it proves is that this is what the Melech is willing to do for me. And so if more is burnt up, he's not going to give me a new one. He's not going to come with, I don't think Eidim are enough for him. He wants only the serial number on the banknote. So you'll tell me that it still exists because they're ashes. It's a Nisrofim aren't even for anything. I can't conceive how that would work. But any event, those are all his rayas. Till he comes, this is what everybody quotes, Avol geder madveyuhu shugozer ha-melech olov sheteitze umishimimayin milimkor v'likach ba'isa madveya yechayiv roishoy l'malchus. V'dino de malchus emes umishvat sedeku v'loy malchus d'aro l'chud gozer ovel el gam malchus d'rakia yisporo shemoy kimavur v'chom v'chule v'chule. Now, when he tells me that this is gufei momen, because it's chayiv reisha lamelech, he's talking literally. You weren't allowed to make your own coinage or to print your own, I don't know, banknote was somehow different. But whatever they were, there were private banknotes floating around, but nobody claimed that they were over la seicher. They were private shtoros, those were shtar. And there were legal ways of distinguishing between a shtar and a banknote. The right of mintage and the right of printing dollars was jealously guarded by medieval monarchs. And if you didn't accept the king's matbeya, you were an eschaver shalomelach. Literally, it's les majesté. If you remember the Rambam, when he defines Dina the Malchusa, who is the melech? If it's matbeya yoyse b'chol ha-medina, that's a simon shekiblu all of l'melech, and that they're la'odain, and that they're m'shuvetim, v'chule, v'chule. Because that was a simon, it was a proba. It didn't mean much in itself, but it meant that's how you knew who the king was. You accepted his matbeya, he was the king. You didn't accept his matbeya, you didn't know who was the king. And it's only din the malchusa dina. Some bandit gets up and says, I'm the king, and I'm levying taxes, you don't have to pay them. It's only the melech you have to pay. If it's Matbeya, the Skabu, B'chol HaMedina, then he's the Melech with a right of taxation. Less than that, he doesn't have a right of taxation. Okay, so he's telling me that the Melech, if his Matbeya is Yoytzei, it's because the Sky of Reishei LeMelech, and that's the end of the story. Now, the Sky of Reishei LeMelech, I don't know, nobody should tell me the Sky of Reishei LeMelech means there has to be a capital crime to refuse to accept the king's currency. And if the Einish is life imprisonment without parole, it's just as good. And if there'll be a lesser einish, but there'll be a fine for not taking the king's coins or the king's banknotes, I think that that's also in the sky of Reish Lamelech, and it'll have a nafkamina for us, Bismanenu, in a moment. We'll talk about that later. But he's telling me that this is that why is it? Because the sky of Reish Lamelech, and the king has a right to do all of this. And since it's in the sky, I don't know, he's saying two things. You know, Kolomais Gereha. He should have, to me, he should have stopped when he said, this is Chayv Reish HaMelech. What does this Chayv Reish HaMelech mean? He goes on the rest of the paragraph to tell me that this Chayv Reish HaMelech means I'm not taking it L'Raya Shabbai. I take it even if it's worthless, and I know it's worthless. I'm taking it because I want to live. That means it has a value. It keeps me alive. It's a life preserver, because if I refuse to take it, I'm going to drown. Or worse is going to happen to me. It's got nothing to do because Dina Mahusa Dina. Only for good measure, he's telling me, in addition to all of this, that Gozor Imer, the rice he throws in here, the Rabbi Shlaim was masking to all of this. He wants the king to establish this kind of a malchus with this kind of an einish. But it's Achla Meisar. You don't have to tell me Dina Mahusa Dina, which way I understand it. If you tell me that it's the sky of Reish HaMelech, and therefore I'm not telling you, taking it, L'Raya Shabbai, or what I can get with it, I'm taking it because it's got a value to me. It keeps me alive. It's not medicine. Medicine is also not good in the literal sense of the word. Only I take the medicine to stay alive. I take the banknote to stay alive. It's no worse than medicine. That's called gufe moment. Okay, so Masha'en Kein Shtar Afilu Al Osher Hayyeser Godel Vafilu Hal Shalamelech Bimei Oshroi isn't gufe moment. I don't know what he means, HaMelech Bishmei Oshroi. He means it's not an official banknote. The Melech is writing his own Shtar Choyv. Or the Oshroi Yeser Godel, Rothschild. Rothschild will give me his IOU. It's not Gufei Momen. It's only L'Raya Shavai. So this is the basic sound cipher. And then he goes on to tell me, well, we're talking about Sunei Noi. He doesn't mention Einor at all in any of the three Tshuvas. But obviously it's going to have a Nafmil Einor. Also, is a Ishtar, is not a Ishtar. If it's Gufe Momen, because not Eimid L'Raya, it's for something else, then it should be Einor also on these banknotes. And there, but he goes on the next page to tell me what it is Momen for. If he said, Ein Sofig Etzli, the Hani Banknoten, Heimo Kesef Gomur Afil L'Kadish Isha, who has to buy a ring, give her a $5 bill. So, Kain, once is Kesef L'Kadish Isha, Nemela Havi Kesef Lishtes Eske Hedesha is Umayser. I can be paid the Hektish, which is just, you know, the Gizmer takes money, and this is Jetsi L'Chulin, but even for Meiser, even though it doesn't have a tzura, or I would have told you it doesn't have a tzura, and I can't use nasimon, which is pure silver, because I need kesef tzura for pidyon meiser sheni. He says, even b'hotzata kesef tzivs, so I can't use a nasimon, afilu kesef gomer. V'ha bank no adifi, the mekayim b'vitzarto ha-kesef, the pro lavdavke. It's a new chiddush, that the fact that you've printed the value on the banknote that's called Vitzarto HaKesef, it's got Tzura. The banknote has Tzura also for Pidyon Meiser Sheni. Except everything he's saying, and that is, it's not good for Meiser Sheni, but he's willing to go all the way. And okay, it says, Im Kein Yesh La'ayin Linyin Pidyon Bechor Bani Banknoten, Kivin Shepidyon Bohekdeishis Meiser Sheni. So it should be for Pidyon Aben also. There's nearly Lachalik. Why is nearly Lachalik? Because even Pidyon Meiser, Pidyon Hekdesh, you're dealing with the Gizbar, and the Gizbar is taking one commodity for another commodity. But Pidyon Aben, who are you being paid from? You're being paid from the Rabbanu Shleilam. And he's giving it back to the Kohen. The Kohen is safe from the Rabbanu Shleilam. And he says, Lagabi Malo, Ein Hatsuro, Nafshevis Likum, Ein Hochinami, Banknote, Afilu yit ein moli kesef, moli beisoi, kin shishov yu shav yom ein bohem klum, rach mi pkudas ha-malukus, v'zalu yishaya klapi mailo. You can't tell everyone in Shalom what to do. V'afagav, okay, then he has something else in a minute. But he says that malchus, Tirakia, they don't have to accept the whatever the Malchus Dara says, and therefore it's the Rebbeinu Shleilam. It's nothing. It's not Kesef, just because the Malchus Geyser. Now I really don't understand. The Rebbeinu Shleilam doesn't want it because it's got no Shavius. The Kesef Hazov has a Shavius to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Liyah Kesef Liyah Hazov. So the Kesef Hazov has nothing to him either. What can he do with the Kesef Zov? It's Jesus in the cover of the Revelation to say, all the thing that he can do with Kesef Zov is give it to me. Well, I'll take the banknote too. What difference does it make whether he gives me Kesef Zov or he gives me banknote? Why shouldn't the Rebbeinu Shleilam be machshir the banknote too if he can be mezaken me with a banknote? I assure you that if the Aruvos HaShamayim will open and banknotes will fall down in my chotzer, I'll make a shechiyonu. I suddenly became this asher. What difference does it make to me? Whether it's a banknote that comes from the Shemayim, or it's Kesef Zov that comes from the Shemayim. But he seemed to think there was a difference, that the Malchus can't be Geyser Klapi Shemaya. The Malchus isn't Geyser Klapi Shemaya. Malchus is Geyser for the Medina. And in the Medina, it's Yetzei, like silver is Yetzei, it's Tivo. So as far as I'm concerned, as far as the Kohen is concerned, why shouldn't the Rebbeinu Shleilam give him this instead of silver? What difference does it make to the Kohen? But he gets a banknote. He's getting the silver from the Melech Malchim Lochim. So he's getting the banknote from Melech Malchim Lochim. I don't see what the difference is, but he thinks there's a difference. So, and he himself has a problem. I've got another by his problem. He says he's got a problem. The Amri, even if the Kohen will say, Lidi Shove, Hainum Shum, Shim Hoyoloi Hey Sloim Hoyonis name Baad Hasuder. But Lidi Shovel doesn't make any difference. Mash Ain Kane Elu Hatsurois Ainum Shovim Gan Lukain Klum Rak Me Aim Sudamalkasa Esher Ain't Poidimboy. Again, I'm totally confused. To me, I'm the Kohen, Lidi Shovel. I'm willing to take this. Pieces of paper. Pieces of paper. So, because I can go a lot more with it because of the melech. That's why. But sof kol sof, you know, Why should it work with even if it's only a shtar? Okay, he can't say dishovli on a shtar if it's only oimid l'raya. If it's a shtar, I want to use lots of pitz l'chusay, I can say dishovli. What's the difference? So I don't quite understand what he's saying here. Now, there is another tshuva. I'm going to go to the third one first. The last, well, this has a date on it. No, it doesn't have a date. This one doesn't have a date. I'll tell you later what the date is. I'll tell you the date of that one exactly, too. If you now go to the Chassam Sefer, the last one in Chayshin Mishpat, the last one in Chayshin Mishpat, this is the very end, before the Likutim. I think you have that also, it was distributed. Kuf Pei Zion is a very interesting Shaila in and of itself. It's an issue spotting Shaila. You have two people who went someplace to do business with Schreira. They're going to sell their Schreira in a Yerid or something. And their friends, their buddies, and they're both staying in the same stancia. And comes at night, one of them tells his chaver, look, I got a lot of, I need small change, and I have a hunderter. Give me 10 tens for the hunderter. And they're friends, and no one is chayshed the second one for Geneva. I'm not sure he's chayshed him for a lie. I think it's been the dummy more than anything else. But at worst, they're accusing each other of telling a little bit of a lie so that they should be zeich in din because of what they think the contingencies are going to be and how they're going to make a difference. So what happens was that they've agreed, only they're in the Torah. This is like an inn, the cafe, chves, what's going on here at night. And one gets his 10 times 10, and the other one's supposed to have gotten 100. And it turns out, later at night, the guy says, I'm missing my 100. The hunderter, where's the hunderter? I gave you 10 tens, and you didn't give me back the 100 that you exchanged for your 10 tens. That says, what do you mean? I put it on the table. I told you to take it, and you took the 100 from me. I don't owe you 100. And the guy says, what do you mean? You didn't give it to me, and you didn't tell me you're putting it down. That's the only thing they disagree with, this little, this is a lie. It's not a lie. It could have been the dummy. I thought I put it down. He saw it. He remembers exactly what he did. So he's misremembering. But that's another coming, Besdin, coming to some safer. Who is liable, as I would have put it, who has the right to suffer the loss? One person has the loss, the other doesn't. They took out their wallets, one, and they knew exactly how much they had, how much they spent, and they believe each other. And one is missing 100. And one is missing 10 tens, and he doesn't have an extra 100. So he knows that he never got the 100. So what happened here? They agree among themselves what happened. What happened was that there were goyim here. And the goyim aren't as honest as these two Jews are. And while it was on the table, a goyim must have come and taken it. The question is, from who did he take it? Who has the right to suffer the loss? The one who was giving the 100 in exchange, or the one who was accepting the thing in exchange? So we're now back and forth, any day in Ischayafti, any day in Paraiti. That's not our problem right now. And the Chassam Sofer analyzes it in all of those aspects. And then the last paragraph, it's a short truth altogether. In the last paragraph, he says, Hine habanki, poshu destam tevin bebezdin. You know, they were climbing the stories. I don't have to pay anything because you can't be mechayiv me. And if I'm a shomer, I'm not a shomer. It's mufka from shtoris. You can't be mechayiv me shvuah. And I'm not chayiv as a shomer either. He says, tevim bebezden, tevim shove v'loy davke. You know he wants the banknote. When you come to Besden, you're not asking for the shtar, which I would say, ain't ishpoin al shtoris. You claim I owe you a shtar, and the other one says, you don't owe me a shtar. Im kein mashbiim bipshitus. There's no question to him that he be mashbia on a taina of the banknote, because a taina on the banknote is not a taina on the banknote. It's a taina of what the banknote is worth. I don't want dafka banknote. If you'll give me coins and silver, I'll be more than happy to accept. So it's not a tfiya for the shtar. Al v'kvar hirafti b'tshuva zeh zechov dalit shonim. He says, I wrote about this 24 years ago. This is written in Tov Kuv Tzadik Ches. The first one was written, what was the date on the first one? Tov Kuv Tzadik, it's Tov Kuv Ayin Zayin. And it says 21 years ago, the first one didn't have a date. Go back, subtract 21 years from Kuf Tov Tzadik Ches, and what do you end up with? You end up with Ayin Zayin, Tov Kuv Ayin Zayin. Now, I'll soon show you that there's one in between in Ibn Ezra that says for both of these. So it's strange. The Chasam Sofer Bialdusa held one thing, Ziknusa the same thing, and Bagrusa, he seemed to hold something entirely different. And that's just curious. I'm more than curious. I talk about whether the Chasam Sofer held. I don't know what the Chasam Sofer held. Which Chasam Sofer? This is more or less the same as the first. He went back to what he held originally, and he had a few little things he didn't say before. There he said, of course, you could be nishpa on the shtoris. Here he says, okay, not nishpa on the shtoris. You don't want the shtar. You don't want the banknote. You want the value of the banknote. So, of course, it's not, no, even the shayla of nishpoin all the shtoris. And then he talks about a number of other things. He says, of course, poidin boi hekdeshes on these banknoten, like he said the first time. And he says, "V'tzarta kesef biyodcha," all of that. And then he says again, I don't know about Lidi Shovli, but you can't use it for Pidyon HaBen. Why can't you use it for Pidyon HaBen? Because it's only worth money, because it's Nechayv Reish LaMelech. And he says, he makes a few more reasons why he thinks that these things don't have a din of banknoten. But then, if you look at the other one, the one that was in Ibn Ezra, there he's worried about how much do you have to pay for a ksuba. And as we'll see, he thinks that the ksuba is something like Pidyon HaBen. It's got a value in silver, and you have to pay its value in silver. And he talks about these banknotes, and he says that, yeah, he says, it's kuf chavov in Ibn Ezra. It's aleph. Okay? He says, how he has been nohug in priyas aksuba in the shinui matbeye hanohug b'medinas amelech hakesar yorim hoidu. The value of whatever the coins were had changed in that period. Now, how much do you have to give in the new matveyas? So he has all kinds of arguments here telling me why these things are or are not shtoris. And he says, hochinami lin shud reise, mishihifkid lechaveri banke, tsuris, Linasa shoyo eliva lehem rak shemer v'nevdu lohoyisi mechayev shudaraisa. Says there's no shudaraisa on these banknotes, not because nobody's asking for the banknotes. Near poshut im nisrufu v'yeshle lo'odom raya. This is the place where he talks about the raya. Edi sreifa. So the melech will give it to him. So you see that it's not l'raya he made, because you'll need it for raya. You get 80 sreifa for raya. Again, I spoke about that, and I want to repeat it again. And finally, he tells me for all kinds of things that he tells me that this has a din of kesef or zov, and except he tells me uli in ribis tzorachim. Now, if this is kesef for kedusha isha, and it's kesef for everything else, why isn't it kesef for ribis? I don't know. I'm not sure what Sorokin is. Does he think it's a kind of saw that's really payra, that the banknote and wherever they are have a din of payra? He just told me that even if they're huzal, it doesn't make any difference. And that's what the whole tshuva is about, because here for everything else is what it's worth, and here you have to pay in silver, because chazal were machayev you in silver, like Pidyon HaBen, he thinks. I'm not quite sure why. How does he know chazal were machayev you in silver? Maybe they were machayev you in what silver can buy. I don't know any of this. And ribbit should be saw b'saw. I don't quite understand why suddenly it's saw b'saw. Now, Now, maybe it's because he didn't know where the Hilchus Riba is in Chesh and Mishpat or in Yeridaya. It's been Odom L'Chaveira or it's been Odom L'Mokim. If it's been Odom L'Mokim, then maybe it's like, you know, the Pidyon HaBen. I have no idea. He doesn't tell me. So I'm not going to go worry about it too much. In any event, I have this Chum Sefer that, you know, everybody knows. And then I told you in advance, that I will have a Chochmas Odom, who also talks about banknotes. He was before the Chassam Sofer, but he certainly didn't hold like the Chassam Sofer. Here, if you look in Klal Kuf Lamed Beis, Ois Tes, he says, he's talking about what is Ribis Deraiser. He says that Kesef is Tivo, but Kfar Noagu, no, you're in trouble. Kfar Noagu, Lahalvois Zohov Bezohov, Ritzin Loimar, Shezer Loi Adumim, no, the red coins, the gold coins, Umachzer Loi Adumim, the Af Agaf, the Thomim Nisiakrim, take out the New York Times, the Shire of Gold fluctuates against the silver, so it should be Zoh Bezoh, just like Rebbe said that now Zov is payer legabi silver. The whole ribis akoponim midrabanon. Vim kain mitzvat hadin hoya osr el yim kain shiasenu domim. The hainu shim ishaker ha odoim Zov ani etin lo ani azai lo itin loy elo mois kesas kfia mekach shoy bishas alvo. Okay, vim shire in the kesa says. Commission Kosal come on clock with them dialed bin ribis. Mikomokim Somuchu Hoilom Al Das Hapoiskim the dinner zov kivishu yitzibitsu ainloy din peris eladin matbeya ube matbeya mutul halvisume matbeya lishalim loy oisoy hamatbeya. So all you come to the Ramah, you come to Matbeah Yitzibaisa Medina, that's called Tivo, and you can borrow $5 to return $5. I said before that according to the Chochmas Odom, a dollar for a dollar or $5 for $5 will be saw to saw, and we'll soon see that that'll be true. But he's saying that, you know, these people for Adumim Badumim, they think it's like Matbeah, it's a Yitzibes and Medima, it's all okay. So he says, Velinira, Kivin She'onu Royim Leinayim. So forget about Kfar Noagu. She'odom zohov ha'yikav azol toliboy v'loy b'peiris. Everybody knows it all depends upon the gold. They're on a gold standard of some kind. Yisr tov she'zoyer ha'loyve she'shitzarech lilvois adumim yirle al-koponim odom zohov echot. Imata sobiso? He's calling the zohov for zohov sobiso? Vim Kane, Dinoi Kidvin Havo Sobisok Lukamon. So far we're talking about is Odom Bodom, and we don't have gold coins in this Medina. Cougarans we'll worry about when we go to South Africa, or the Canadian Maple Leafs, but we don't have a gold coin. So, the Kane Hadin, the banknoten, are also Sobisok. Ubo divnoi seinu, kairim asig, dechein bartim Hollander. I presume Hollander is an adjective that we're dealing with, Dutch bartim. I don't know what bartim are, and I don't know what, asig are. But he's telling me that these banknoten, they had a dinner so, and you have to be careful. He's telling you that the Madeya Hayetze is so, and it would seem to me that that's exactly what the Bris Yehuda means when he talks about our banknoten or our story, Kesef, which he thinks are so-be-so. Okay. And then there's a note that's being masked for all of this. So, yes. Of course. The micro mash alone. What do I need him for? The micro mash alone. You tell me a simple thing. It's not telling you a simple thing. No. Okay, look. But nobody has ever written about ribis or Bittel Mekach or Shtus in American money. I mean, somebody has to write about it sooner or later. Nobody has. And I think if somebody who's doing all of that is going to go find out what these coins were once upon a time. Okay, but I don't know history. They were stories that were on the Eitzer HaMelech. I don't quite know what back means exactly. And when he calls them Hollander, he doesn't mean the Dutch government was somehow involved here. Then there's no raya from him, but from the Brit Yehuda there is a raya. Okay, good. If it's ill of the irate, then it's all the soul. I can. No. Yeah, okay. Okay, good, fine. But there won't be the ribis ksuda only if you manage to do it in that way. And if the matbeya is oila or yoreid and it turns out not to be, it won't be ribis ksuda. Okay, we'll worry about that. But it's very easy to avoid ribis ksuda if you tell me that the matbeyas are basically payrit. It's not hard to avoid ribis ksuda. Doesn't have to be. You can easily make it somud to indexing. Make it somud to inflation. I don't want to talk about inflation, but you can make it somud and spare of the payer, and it's the same amount. Okay, so we'll talk about somud. We'll make it somud, but it won't be hard to avoid ribis deraisa if you really want to do it. Okay, I'm sorry. No, we're not talking about ribis. We're just alone. Now, this is what we're doing there. So, according to, we have different sheets on what this all is. Now, I want to go to the American matbeis. And again, Bialdusi, I thought one thing, and Bizuknusi, I don't know anymore. Bialdusi, I took it for granted that an American dollar bill was more or less the same as Nischayev Reishoy Lamelech. I carefully said before that obviously you don't go to jail if you refuse to accept a banknote, but this to be accepted as legal tender for all debts, private and public. So Bialdusi, I naively thought that what this meant is that if I refuse to accept it, I'm not going to get anything else. So in effect, what the government is doing is saying that if you denominate a contract in yen, you have an illegal contract which can't be enforced, and therefore we're fining you. You want to get money that's due and payable, but you said you're going to collect it in yen, so we're going to fine you for trying to collect it in yen. I discovered that that's just not true, that if you write a contract to be paid in Japanese yen, you can go to court and enforce it. Only, to my further surprise, what is enforcement? The court will order you to pay the value of the yen, not kishas yischaivus, but what the yen is worth today when you're getting judgment in court, which means you're getting what you've promised to pay, only we can't force you to pay yen, and you're getting damages for breach of contract. We can't force you to pay yen, therefore you'll get the damages, which means I didn't punish you at all. You're getting exactly what the yen are worth. So it's not as if I'm saying the contract is illegal and you can't collect. You can collect. It's Nischayev Reishoy Lamelech. You take with the dollars that were rewarded you, or you take nothing, you refuse to get it. Nischayev Reishoy Lamelech, you're being fined. Then I didn't do the research. I don't think there's a case on point. I want, somebody who's going to write about American money has to tell me whether you can ever get specific performance on a contract to deliver yen. If I go to court and I claim the contract says yen, and I don't want dollars. I have a good reason. I want performance in the yen. Now, what's a good reason? And we'll talk about what the good reason could be. I can give you lots of reasons. And will the court say you have to go get the yen? Or will the court say, sorry, we can't do anything about it? Now, specific performance is equitable relief. Generally, courts don't give you specific performance. The major exception is real estate. If you went to contract for real estate, you can't go and say, aha, the value went up. I want to break the contract and I'll pay you whatever the damages are. It won't work. They'll force you to go to closing, to hand over the piece of real estate. You can get it other places also. They're few and far between. And there may be other ways in which, maybe not few and far between, but I'll talk about that in a second. But what if we have a set of circumstances? Putin has made a new gezeira, like the old days. You're not allowed to own matbea zar, and no Russian is allowed to own ruble. And we have one of those oligarchs who's gone into a contract with the American government to supply them with widgets, and he wants payment in Russian rubles. Because he gets payment in American dollars, he can't do anything with it. And the government wants to pay him in American dollars. And he turns around and says, I can't do anything with these American dollars. And Nischayev Reish Lamelech, literally, if I bring them back to Russia, will be suing the American government in the U.S. Court of Claims, and he wants specific performance. Is he going to get specific performance to deliver in yen? And why don't I want to deliver in yen? I'm sorry, in Russian ruble, because in my day, it was true. We didn't let them take ruble out of Russia. But there were plenty of ruble that you could have in New York. You could buy them cheap before you went. And he didn't want you to buy in New York, but in New York, you get them cheap. He didn't want you to do that. And people did do it, and they went to Europe. But this guy doesn't want it. It's Chayav Reish Lamelech. He doesn't want to risk himself. So he's coming, and he's saying, I can't accept ruble. It's unfair to me to accept ruble. It's unfair to me to accept dollars because I can't accept dollars. And I don't want to pay ruble because I have to go find the ruble. And the ruble aren't worth what I have to pay for them. It's, you know, useless to me. The ruble are worth nothing in New York. So whatever is going on here, one wants ruble and the other doesn't want to pay the ruble. Can we get specific performance in the ruble or not? I don't know. I don't know if there's a case on record. And I wasn't going to go do the research for it because you can't make your kasatayra on this until you want to write a psak din of one kind or another, or you want to write what the halacha is going to be in such a case. So I'm leaving that for everybody else. But I'm not sure whether, and this is not negate anymore the ruble business. I want to know now, is it Nischayev Reish Lamelech or not Nischayev Reish Lamelech? Is it only Oymed Laraya? Or can I collect the ruble mamish? If I can collect the ruble mamish, and you can get bitzua ba'ayin, as they call it now, is not a shtar at all. Who says it's aimed for a shtar? It's only l'raya shabai. It's gufe moment, and the ruble is certainly not matbeya here. So it's got to be kind of a gufe moment kind of thing if I can get ruble in exchange for this. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of the American dollar. But that is one of the reasons that I would claim, you know, Kimli, that, like the Sam Sofer, that in its Nischayev Reish Lamelech, and it's gufei moment, if it's good for me. And the other way, I see Kimli the opposite way, and it's not gufei moment. Now, that's if only Shaila is a Shaila, whether this is gufei moment or not gufei moment. It's only Sam Sofer. So certainly the Chazarnish didn't hold like the Sam Sofer. And I don't think that the Brish Yehuda held like the Sam Sofer either. But whatever it is, it now seems to be whether Nischayev Reish Lamelech turns into a goofy moment, does into a goofy moment. But I have other problems. And you know, it seems to me, as I said before, that whenever we go to a Beis Din, we don't want dafke the banknotes. I'll be happy except the silver, except there's no silver coin anymore. But there's no prohibition against owning silver. Maybe against owning gold, not against owning silver. Because even the matbeis aren't matbeis, they're also shtoris. The quarter isn't worth a quarter if you smelt it down. It's only a shtar to get the quarter. Now let me go back to the other reasons why the American currency is, I don't know what it is, but let's start where we started with. The American currency before 1930 was no better than the Schayev Reish HaMelech. And along comes Nixon in 1930, and he takes, not Nixon, Roosevelt in the 1930s, and he takes us off the gold standard. Well, he doesn't take us off the gold standard, but he says you can't go into a bank and get gold dust in return for the dollar. Now, I don't think you could ever get gold dust, but you could go into a bank and get silver dollars. Oh, we can still remember silver certificates for the $1 bill. In fact, I remember when there were Yetzei, Zek, and Egedze. There were some that said silver certificate and some that said Federal Reserve note. I don't know if any teller in the bank made a tumult about it, but if you went in with a silver certificate, you were entitled to a silver dollar. They were still silver dollars then.
It said
pay to the bearer on demand. Yeah, of course. The Zalvashan, and if it's a silver certificate, you couldn't get a silver dollar. Later, the silver certificates disappeared. I haven't seen a silver certificate in decades. Yes, that's fair. That's definitely a silver dollar. That's real silver. Did they pay against the dollar? If you tell me that the American dollar is tivet, I'm not sure American dollar is tivet. But if the American dollar is tivet, then the silver dollar is sold as well. The real silver dollar that you buy in 47th Street and the places that sell these things.
You haven't seen one either.
What? It's a real silver dollar. Well, I've seen silver dollars. I've seen silver dollars. I'll tell you how many times I have. I have to count how many in the clock I have that are bar mitzvah. Because when the first one was bar mitzvah, I made a drosha and I gave him the value of silver. You know, you have to add a little bit to make the value. Whatever the shear is, I bought 8 silver dollars, for which I paid a lot more than $8. And I gave it to him, like the grow, he's put himself the kamakrihani. So I was putting myself with those silver dollars. I gave it to him and I set him up in business. That was the point. So what about the others who became bar mitzvah? Shiloi lahat ilkino ben ho'achim. I have kehanim in the class. I gave the other silver dollars also. And guess what? Every time I went to 47th Street, I paid more than I paid the time before. So there are silver dollars out there, but numinuses or whatever they call them, they're the ones who have it. You can't get them in the bank anymore. And what the point I'm making is, Levi Emerlin, in Washington, there is a museum in the control of the currency or one place. They got... Yeah, they have $500 bills from once upon a time, and I suspect that they say silver certificate on them. I have no idea. I was never there, but you know, somebody who's going to write the tshuva halacha lemaisa should go back and see. And I suspect it will say silver certificate and was freely convertible to silver after, and it was backed by gold. You convert it to silver, but silver was backed by gold. Okay, from the days of Nixon, I couldn't even own gold anymore. But that was in the 1970s. Now remember when we were
33 to 74, you couldn't own gold.
They rescinded prohibition against gold in 34. Yeah. Okay, from 34 to 74, more or less, you weren't allowed to own gold. And this dentist was before 74. And now you're allowed to own gold. Good, fine. But we're off the gold standard, so they don't care if you own gold, right? There was a reason for all of this. So you're allowed to, but then something strange happened. Till 74, it was all backed by the gold in Fort Knox. And you could theoretically go and demand gold in Fort Knox. They won't give you the gold, but because you can't own it, but they'll exchange it for silver, and they'll give you the silver, and you'll walk out just as happy. No more. You can't do this anymore. So what is the American dollar after 1974? Is it fiat money or isn't it fiat money? I'm afraid that the economists will say that we're heretics. But between you and me and the lamppost, it was fiat money as of 1974. No economist will tell you it's fiat money. I don't think so. Go ask him. They will tell you that it was backed, but not by the gold in Fort Knox. This is the first sale you're not allowed to tell anybody. if I go and break into Fort Knox and take out all the gold, nobody will lose a penny, as long as I don't tell anyone. If I tell people, they may start a run on the bank, I don't know. But if I do it quietly and I go sell it in London where I can sell gold easily, nobody's going to lose anything. Because it's got no value. And if it was also to have it once upon a time, if it was didn't have any value altogether. Shema I will worry about that some other time. Only there's one secret that they didn't want you to know, even long before 1974, but certainly after 1974. Nobody claimed that we were on a gold standard after 1974. But there was something going on that was a secret even before 1974. Banks are very wealthy. Now, I don't understand how they make money. When I put, I put my money in the bank. They pay me 5%. And they turn around tomorrow and they lend it to you at 7%. The 2% between 5 and 7, a couple of years ago, there were people out, they're probably still saying it. They were telling me the credit unions, there's no issa ribis because, the two difference, it's schar sefer. They're charging you a little extra money, but it's nothing more than schar sefer, and schar sefer is probably more than 2%. So how are they making money? Where are they making money? What kind of junk, what kind of business is this? The answer is very simple. They play a big trick on you. They have lent the $100 that I put in the bank, not once, but 10 times. Because what does the bank do? Well, we're just at the beginning of this saga. There's a lot of shaggy-paggy going on here. First, the bank takes my shtar chayv, or my mortgage, for $1,000, and it goes to the bank, the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve doesn't give them 100, it gives them 90. And what do they do with it? First, they rent it to Reuven. Today, they're going to rent the $91 to Shimon. What are they going to do with Shimon? They're going to take his mortgage and go to the same Federal Reserve, get only 90%, so it'll be, 80-some dollars. Then they're going to do it a third time. They call this factorial. It's 100th factorial in mathematics. And they'll tell you exactly how much ribbons they're getting for all of this. You know, how many times the 2%? They'll probably be 50% where you're all finished. But we're not finished yet, by any means. The next step is, and when I lend the person the money on his mortgage, what does he do with it? He goes and he pays the builder. And what does the builder do with the money that he gave to Reuven? We have Chad Gadya, the Sabinava Trezuse. He takes the same Trezuse that I lent the developer and he puts it in the same bank. And I take the developer's Trezuse, which I lent him, and I lend it to somebody else. I lent this Trezuse 10 times over because I visited the Federal Reserve Bank 10 times over. And now I'm going with the depositors, the loivers, Trezuse, and I'm doing the same thing all over again. Now, at this point, I have no pellet to me why banks are rich. I want to know why aren't the floors paved in gold? Because they're making money hand over fist. What's going on here? So the answer is, that they claim that it's not fiat money, heaven forbid. You and I would call it fiat money. They claim that the money is backed not by the gold in Fort Knox, because Gordon Fort Knox is not backing it. I can't get the gold in Fort Knox, nor can I get the silver value. And if it disappeared in Fort Knox, nobody would be the wiser. It wouldn't make the slightest difference to our economy as long as you keep it quiet. No, these are secrets. That's why we don't tell anybody. The economists don't want to tell anybody either. It's to their advantage because they have to live in this economy. Now what's happening after Nixon, and we're not on gold anymore, so we don't have to worry about people showing up and asking for gold or silver. Now we have the government borrowing treasury certificates. The government goes to the treasury window themselves. It's one hand going to the second hand, and they're borrowing money against what? Not against gold, not against silver, not against mortgages, but the full faith and credit of the United States. What's the full faith and credit of the United States? Taxing power. They'll levy as many taxes as they want in order to pay it. That's called the Fkudas HaMelech. the Neschayev Reish Lamelech in one way or another, if indeed it is Neschayev Reish Lamelech. Now, already Masufi, whether it's Neschayev Reish Lamelech. So what am I doing? What am I doing with dealing with here? It may well be the case, and I'll tell you something even more strange. It could be that fiat money is better than American currency. And if American currency is subject to a noe, v'chule, and ribis, it's precisely because it's fiat money. Who says that fiat money isn't valuable? If Nischayev Reishu Melech, absolutely. And if it's not Nischayev Reishu Melech, there's a little piece in the Chassam Sefer, I forgot which tshuva it's in, but that's the one we call the Malchus Shel Chesed. He says that the Melech can do whatever he does, and it's Dina Malchus Adina. He can be Peiches Alamad Beyetz, and I'm talking about that, what implication that has for Ribbis. He can suddenly declare that the gold coin is only worth half an ounce of gold instead of an ounce of gold, and the other 50%, that's his Revach. What's it called? It's called a tax. He says he does that because the Melech fights wars. He has to finance his wars. How does he finance his wars? They always finance the wars by being a Peiches Alamad Beyetz. So that's what he's doing with this, the Bit of Shenanigans. Says he, the Melech, in the Malchus Adina, he could have confiscated the money. He could have taken it all. Or it's a Malchus Shel Chesed. Instead of confiscating all the money to fight his war, he only took 50%. He's a nice king. So that's it. You know, it's still a Alamad Beyetz. And this is basically fiat money at this point. And he's telling me that fiat money is whatever the king says it is. And if you accept it because this is the Zeras HaMelech, it's the Sky of Rachel Melech in one way or another, then it's got Shavius. He can go a step further. And who says that fiat money isn't money if I accept it not L'Raya Shaboy? It's the banknote that the Sumser is talking about is worse. He thought the banknote is worth only what you go to the bank and get for it. If you tell me I go to the bank and get nothing for it, who cares about the Sky of the Melech or not? That's not why I took it. I took it because everybody was maskim, the Haskomas B'nai HaMedina. That is what the Chassam Sofer is talking about. That's what the Chazanish is talking about. Does the Chassam Sofer agree or does he not agree? I don't really know whether he agrees. But the Chazanish told me that the value depends upon Haskomas B'nai Odom. That's why I told you this is a secret. Don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody interfering with Haskomas B'nai Odom. Haskomas B'nai Odom is that the university gives me a check every once in a while, and I go into the bank, and I know it's nothing, and I don't know whether they know it's nothing, but you now know it's nothing, and we all pretend it's something. I don't want anybody to know the difference, because otherwise I won't be able to be Mekayim the Dinim of Nizokin. I need it to be fulfilled the mitzvah satira. To pay kishas hagneta, I need it for my olam haba, or just be able to get along in this world. But it's haskamas b'nei adam. Is wampum money? Of course, wampum is money. In the wampum, they're shells that the Indians used to use. I know the secret. I know why wampum is money. And if I were an Indian, I would want wampum. I wouldn't want your gold. I would want the wampum. Because Haskomas B'nai Odom is for wampum. That's Tivo in the Indian villages in Central Park once upon a time. That was Haskomas B'nai Odom, not gold and silver or these little beads that these people who came on ships from foreign lands brought. But this was the Haskomas B'nai Odom. I would argue, and again, I don't know if anybody's made the argument, that fiat money is the real money. That's Haskomas B'nai Odom to accept as long as you accept it. Weimar Republic. It was fiat money. In the modern age, I think it was the first fiat money. I don't know. Ask the historians. And you had to bring wheelbarrows of Deutsche Mark in order to buy a loaf of bread because people of them weren't being masked anymore. They started losing faith in the currency. So it went up and down. And that was still Tivla in those days. Don't ask what's going to happen in the British Island.
Yes,
and I don't even have to wait for so many defaults. Yeah, it can easily happen in person. China, the real estate bubble burst.
That's what happened in 2008.
It's more or less what happened in 2008 until they took care of it in one way or another. But when you're dealing with fiat money, it's only askomis megotam, nothing more. If you're dealing on a gold standard or a silver standard, it's not askomis megotam. I go to the bank, they get gold and silver. And as long as I can sell gold and silver in China or in London exchange, it's got worth something. But if it's Teva only in America, because it's Yetze only in America, it's not Yetze in Putin's Russia or in any other Medina, and there are lots of Medinas that won't accept it if you have rampant inflation. So I lost askomis megotam. But as long as that's Skomis Mei Odom, I now resurrected everything. I've got Ribis Tzutze, and I've got everything that I wanted, because otherwise I don't have these things if I don't want to have them. Now, that's...
He
feels better. Okay. But what I'm saying, I think, is I don't know if anybody has ever said it. You know, everybody, they're relying on the Chasam Sofer with they're not relying upon the Chasrei Nish. I'm relying on the Chasrei Nish. That's all Haskomis Bnei Odom. And the Haskomis Bnei Odom, it's easy to understand why there are these Haskomis Bnei Odom. I know what you monetize. People, and maybe I'm right, I'm wrong, I don't know, I'm not an economist. If you want to know what is going to become the Tivo, you have to look for certain criteria. And you'll see wherever you get these criteria, it turns into Tivo. And it changes because sometimes one has more of this attribute and sometimes there's less of the attribute. Number one, it's got to be something that's scarce. If everybody has it, then it's blote, mud. Mud's not going to become tifa. I can get as much as I want. Earth, sand, I can go mine it as much as I want. What kind of tifa is this? So you need something which is, to start with, something which is scarce. Huh? I didn't say worthless. That comes later. The second is
uranium.
Maybe I wouldn't be surprised. Uranium is certainly more scarce than gold, but okay, I don't know. Okay, it's a candidate for Tivo. I won't take it. You know why? Because it's high ratio of melic. If I take it, I'm afraid of the radioactive effects. But otherwise, I'd be perfectly happy to accept uranium as Tivo. It's got the other things I need also. The second is it has to be transferable. If I can't, don't talk about bales of cotton. Too hard to schlep around, even though they're light. I need something that is easily transferable. Metalpolin, tovra nikne miyad liyad, yisikne miyad amisecho. I need, it has to be metalpol, and preferably concentrated into little space and little weight. Number three, it's got to be something that's durable. And don't tell me that ice is scarce in the jungles of Africa and it's transportable. It's not going to last very long. What do I want this for? My ice is going to melt. There's my ice with up in water vapor. So I need something that is durable. And finally, last but not least, I submit that it has to be something that has no value whatsoever. The more value it has, the less I want it for money. Now, I'll explain to you, I'll give you examples. Why don't I want something that is utilitarian? I'm depriving myself of the use of what is utilitile. Is there such a word? What I can use. Why should I use gold if I can use it for fillings in a tooth? Now, very little gold goes into people's teeth, so while you were on a gold standard, nobody cared about it. And you're telling me why I can't use it.
Right.
Don't tell me to go make a chinic out of it or a teacup out of gold because it's going to melt.
It's
practically useless. The very few things that I can use gold for. I can use it for a filling in a tooth. That's, very recent age and how much they use already in fillings. Right, absolutely. And there are other things in the same category. Silver is a little bit more useful because I can use it for photograph film or something. You use silver in making photography film. So that's 20th century, till 20th century. And by then, silver wasn't worth anything anyway. But did you ever try putting tea in a silver becher? You put wine in the becher, yeah? Pesach at night, I've done it. You want tea, and the becher's on the table, and you drank the whole kais, so you put it into the becher, and then you take it in your hand, and you throw it away, because it burns your hand. It conducts heat. What can I do with silver? What can I do with diamonds? Diamonds haven't become tea of any place. There's nothing. Don't talk to me about industrial diamonds. Industrial diamonds are not what you give the kala in an engagement ring. That I know. You use it in machinery, and it's not worth anything like what the stuff that you give the kala in an engagement ring. If you want something that sparkles, zircon sparkles better. Why don't you use zircon? What are you using the diamonds for? You're doing it because diamonds are useless. Diamonds are easily transportable. They're small. They don't wear out. And they're also non-utilitarian. I'm not depriving myself of any other hanoah that I could have for it. And don't come and tell me that you use it for an engagement ring. And don't come and tell me you use gold for a gold necklace. And don't tell me that the Indian squaws had necklaces made out of wampum. Do you know why they used it? Not because wampum is particularly beautiful. And not because gold, 22 karat gold is particularly beautiful. 12 karat gold is just as beautiful. And gilded bronze is just as beautiful. Only, that's what wealthy people do. They flaunt their wealth. Women are part of their wealth, and jewelry are part of their wealth. So it's zelu mazeh. I display my wealth on my other wealth. And that's all that's going on here. It's an olam hasheker. You think that this is so valuable. It's not valuable. You think it's valuable precisely because it's not valuable. That's why it became tivo. That's why it became jewelry. You decided to beautify, not zircon, precisely because it's worthless. Maybe, I don't know. It was built in the Chazon Ish will tell you that the Torah wanted you to establish a monetary system. And the Torah knew that the best monetary system is Zohar. Certainly until the modern age, it was Zohar. Maybe platinum now, I don't know. But once upon a time, it was certainly the best thing to monetize. It had all the criteria. It was the scarcest of what was going on there. Later, silver became even more scarce than it was once upon a time. Less scarce than once upon a time. But once upon a time was scarce enough. And that's how you established the monetary system. But
once upon a time, aluminum was very valuable.
Yes, it's true. And now it's in Schustergas. It's worthless.
Until they figured out
Yeah, things happen. Things change. So to me, it turns out that if everything is fiat money, if everything is fiat money, then fiat money can also become tivo. If it's haskomas meyodom. Now I was going to talk about other things. I think that the American currency has gone currency. The American monetary system has gone way beyond this. I don't think it's fiat money either. But I suspect we talked too long today.
Part two.
Mm-hmm. Maybe part two. We'll see. Maybe part two next time. Bitcoin's a monopoly money. I haven't talked about monopoly money yet. The thing doesn't mean you have to answer the question. Remember, they all said Leviat Stodei Asofi.
Remember, money is a figment of your imagination anyway. So the Chinuch can also differ.
What time is Mincha downstairs?
4:40 or 4:47.
You think I can make it? Let's see if I can make it.
It's 7.